Welcome to the Do Zone, where entrepreneurs go to get things done. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. Each week, I bring on experts from a variety of backgrounds to share their secrets on how to optimize performance so you can take massive action, crush your goals. Speaking of optimizing performance, we now have trained AI sales and support agents ready to help you close more deals, reduce expenses, and provide five-star customer service. To learn more, go to anabots.ai. Once again, that's anabots.ai. Today's guest is Nicholas Melosi. Nicholas is a visionary leader with a proven track record in the business world and his groundbreaking venture, Copyfish Company. This startup is poised to revolutionize the market by providing consumers with high-quality protein directly, bypassing intermediaries to ensure both quality and affordability. Nicholas, welcome to the Do Zone. Tell us something you believe is the key to getting stuff done that most people wouldn't think of.
That most people wouldn't think of? A big one for me is planning. On Sunday afternoons, I usually plan my week, just see what I want to get done, what the hard things are, and where my time is. So I think that's the biggest on mine, but you know, I'm sure lots of people have thought that planning is a big one.
Well, it's one thing to think about it. It's another thing to actually execute it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where most people get stuck. And so as you're planning and you're getting ready for your week, what are some of the ways that you go about making sure that this week is going to be a maximum productivity possible?
I start out with my Google Calendar. And I print a sheet off for the week from 6 a.m. till 8 p.m. And I try to maximize every minute, you know, the life's short, and there's a lot of things I want to accomplish. There's a lot of things I want to do. I like picking my son up from school. I like dropping him off. And that's kind of one of my big priorities is kind of working around that schedule. But that's my biggest thing is just planning things out. And obviously there's curveballs, right? Like obviously you have to roll with things, but you know, I keep a list on the left side of my calendar for Sunday, which is kind of like a rolling thing. Okay. I didn't get to this week, but you know that now it's going to bump up on my list where I got to prioritize that the next week. So I think that's kind of, one of the reasons maybe I have seen some success on some of these things is because I do feel like I've fallen back on planning.
Yeah. Yeah. There's this old saying about what you lack in motivation, you make up for with systems or make up for with discipline. And there's some different
preparation.
Ways to say it. Preparation. Yeah. All right. I've heard it said a bunch of different ways. And it's really, if you walk into any situation with no plan, then you're really at the mercy of chance, you know, and because something's going to go wrong and there's no way around that. Something's always going to go wrong. Something's going to throw you off. But if you have your plan, you can always fall back on that plan and your preparation.
So what are some of the things that you like? What are the things that you do to kind of achieve what you set out to?
Yeah, great question. So for me, you mentioned, hey, I want to plan on Sunday to get ready for what's coming. For me, that's a great answer. One of the things that I like to do is almost the opposite. And I like to look at where I'm going and make sure that that's really clear and well-defined. Because without that destination, I'm just wandering around without direction anyway. And so I like to really kind of home in on what is it I'm actually trying to accomplish with all this work that I'm about to do. That helps me on my Sunday planning say, okay, I got to get here. What are all the steps that I got to take in order to make sure that I get there?
No, that's really good, man. I'm just kind of thinking in my head of how I can kind of implement that in my weekly planning. I don't think I have been like being like, okay, where do I want to go? I think it's more like, what do I need to get done? But no, that's insightful.
It's a tough transition, right? Because we're in go mode. We're in do mode. It's the do zone. Like it's literally what the podcast's about, right? But if we're not going somewhere, sometimes we start spinning our wheels and we don't even notice because we don't have a particular destination in mind. It's like if I rolled by your house and said, "Hey, Nicholas, man, jump in the car. Let's go on a road trip. What's the first question you're going to ask me?
Where
Where are we going?" And one of us
are
said, "I don't know. I figure I just burn some gas and,
See
put some
where the
miles on
road
the
takes
car."
us. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, "No, thanks, man. I got stuff to do."
Yeah.
Right?
No, man,
Yeah.
that's good. That's really good.
Yeah. And so I'm curious, and you have a company that is solving a huge problem, and part of that problem in some parts of the world is malnutrition. In other parts of the world, like me personally, I've seen a lot of fitness experts, and I've gone in. I'm always trying to take care of my fitness. One of the biggest challenges for me is I'm supposed to eat like 180 grams of protein a day. That's freaking hard, man.
Yeah.
And so there, you're solving lots of different problems with your product. Could you tell me first a little bit about what it is, and why this is a passion of yours?
It's a fish that was brought to the States in the 50s. And it was used to control plankton, to control algae blooms, right? But they didn't realize in lakes and during flooding and stuff, they got out of the lakes and they got into the rivers. And what happened was is they compete with all of the local species. But what makes them such a high quality source of protein is that they eat the plankton. They're not a predator fish. So you don't get the mercury levels that you do with marlin or barracuda or any fish that you wouldn't really assume would have these higher levels. So their toxicity level is so much lower than everything else, and they're abundant, right? So we can get these fish at a much cheaper rate right now, and that's what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, that's great. And it makes a lot of sense. And so are is this being distributed in local supermarkets now, or is that in the horizon?
Yeah, local butcher shops, local supermarkets, and we're working with a processing plant that's close by to process them and kind of scale up a little bit.
Awesome.
Because there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into not alone just catching the fish, but actually bringing them to market, right? The packaging, everything. It's my background's in geology and oil and gas, so this has kind of been a learning curve for me.
And I'm curious, and this is one thing that we really take for granted. I go to the supermarket and I see my food, and it's already been sourced. It's been sometimes washed and prepared and packaged together, and all I have to do is pick it up, take it home, eat it, or cook it and eat it. But we don't think about all of the other things that go into, especially fish coming to market. And so, what are some of the crazier things that you've learned in going through this process about how that works?
Just how dangerous it could be being on the river. You know what I mean? Just like right now we're at flood stages on the Mississippi, and there's 50-foot logs floating down the river that are, 2.5 feet in diameter. But you have to go catch the fish in order to provide, a source of protein that is, what's the right word? Like these supermarkets, they're relying on us to bring protein so they can sell in their markets, right? So we got to go out there and we got to catch these fish. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I've learned as I've done it is that it's a dangerous job, but it's also exciting. It's beautiful out on the river, and it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome, man. And I'm curious. There's a story that you shared here on your forum about that one time you got radiation poisoning. Tell me about that.
That was we operate an oil company as well, and we were down in Texas working on one of our wells, and there's what's called NORM, natural occurring radioactive material in these wells, and I didn't have gloves or anything on, and I we were pulling the well, and one of the rig hands dropped it in my hand, and it was like an hour later. I was instantly exhausted. Like I had no energy. And I couldn't brush my teeth for a week because my gums would bleed.
Oh man.
It was pretty intimidating. But yeah, that's kind of when we decided that operating wells might need to take a back seat.
Yeah, it might kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. And then you ended up having to clean up a spill right after that.
Yeah. We had an oil spill. There was a big freeze in Texas. What part of the country are you from?
I'm in Austin, Texas.
You're in Austin. Do you remember that in 2000?
Oh
Was it
yeah.
20 or 21?
Oh
When
yeah.
and it was crazy. Like it was nuts that there was a foot of snow on the road in East Texas,
Yeah.
and our guys couldn't get to some of the wells, and one of the lines froze and broke, and it was literally the worst spot it could be. It was like at the lowland area. It wasn't a bunch of oil, but it was still enough to be just a nightmare and a mess. But it took us 9 months, I think, to get it cleaned up. But we got our bill of approval. We got approval from the Rail Commission and the landowner, and everybody's happy. And it was really important that we did a good job cleaning it up. But those are a couple reasons when I was like, maybe. I'm not into this anymore. Maybe it's time to try something else.
Yeah, maybe I'll just go fishing on the river.
Yeah.
That's a good plan. Now that I've heard like the full cycle, it's like, well, of course this guy's selling fish, you know? Like, well,
Yeah.
who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah, man, it's fun. So you're Austin. That's it's a really fun city.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Have you been here?
Yeah, we used to be down there a lot. Used to be there in Houston and Dallas a lot.
Yeah. Awesome.
So how did you get into the podcast?
One of the things that I love doing is I love meeting new people and I love hearing new stories. It always gives me a chance to kind of absorb different people's perspectives and ideas. And you said earlier, I like to sit down and plan my stuff and maybe somebody else has thought of that. Well, yeah, probably, but sometimes you just need to hear it a certain way or you need to hear it a certain amount of times before it really just kind of clicks in. And so one of the things that I've always been passionate about is making sure that if you're going to get up and do something, do it 100% and do it at the peak productivity efficiency that you possibly can. Because just like you said, man, life's short. We don't have a lot of time. You know, we don't want to be jumping into wells, getting radiation poisoning. We want to be fishing on the river, you know? And so that's
Yeah.
why I meet good people like you. And so where can people go to learn more about your fish company and either get involved or purchase your product.
CopiFishCo.com, CopiFishCo.com is our website, and we've been shooting a lot of videos on the river for our Instagram at CopiFishCo on Instagram, and that's man, that's social media is a very difficult thing to conquer. There's
Indeed.
it's a lot of skill. Like my hat's off to if you're good at social media and marketing and keeping people's attention, and that's awesome. And that's one thing that we're trying to figure out right now.
Yeah, indeed. Awesome. So copyfishco.com, and also you can check out some videos and images of Nicholas fishing at Copy Fish Co on Instagram.
We got some
Excellent. Well, hey.
recipes on there, and yeah.
Oh, good. What's
So,
your favorite recipe?
I mean, I love fried fish. Just breaded southern fried, and then I also just throw it on the grill with lemon.
Nice. Good
Yeah.
deal, man. Well, hey, we're gonna wrap up from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Nicholas, for coming on and sharing his wisdom about how he gets stuff done and how he fishes the Kopi fish out of the river here on the Mississippi. And you can connect with him by going to kopifishco.com. And whether you're on your morning commute, you're in the gym, or somewhere out in the field, snap a selfie, tag me at JT Literally. Show me what you do while you're in the do zone. And one more time, if you're looking to boost your sales, cut your costs, and increase customer satisfaction so you can buy back some of your time, get yourself an Anabot. Learn more at Anabots. Dude.ai. That's it. Now, let's get to work.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Dude Zone podcast. If you're running a service-based business that's looking to grow this year, let's talk about how we can slingshot you into momentum with a quick injection of cash and sales. Our clients typically see results in as little as 7 days. To learn more about what we do, you could go to factorone.io. Once again, that's factorone.io. We'll see you next time.